Today is October 21st, year 2007. It's the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And we're going to continue on with the defense of the dogmas of the Catholic Church regarding the Blessed Virgin Mary, Immaculate and Ever Virgin. We spoke about it in the last sermon about how to, when you're trying to convert Protestants, we already did that. The first thing is to just present to them, do you at least agree that Mary was the most special creature that God ever created? That's sufficient for you to find out what the response is off of that. Logic dictates they have to say yes. If they don't, you go no further. But we're going to still continue on with this because it's going to show you how dishonest they are. And like our Lord said, everybody who's outside the Catholic Church is a liar and a deceiver in one way or the other. They may tell truths in a lot of their lives in other areas, but whatever false religion they're practicing, whatever false god they're worshiping, and that means everybody who's not inside the Catholic Church is worshiping a false god and is practicing a false religion, that's where you will find your lies. They're all full of lies, and you can catch them by God's grace and the law upon your heart and your ability to reason. God wants you to reject those religions because they're utterly false. And there's easy contradictions in all of these false religions and false gods that anybody can detect with God's grace. We're going to just show you how dishonest the Protestants are when it comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I was reading from the book of Acts chapter 1, and it has a beautiful commentary there defending the dogmas of Our Blessed Mother and exposing the hypocrisies of the Protestants in their lack of devotion to Mary. We're going to start out and we're going to read these commentaries because they're so really beautiful. And it's starting out with the Acts chapter 1 verse 14 commentary, and it goes on. It's a long commentary, about two full pages here. We're going to read from that. Now it starts out by saying Mary is the mother of Jesus. This is the last mention that is made in Holy Scripture of Our Blessed Lady. For though she were full of all divine wisdom and opened no doubt unto the evangelists and the other writers of Holy Scriptures diversities of Christ's actions, speeches, and mysteries, whereof she had both experimental and revealed knowledge, yet for that she was a woman and the humblest creature living and a pattern of all order and obedience, it pleased not God then that she should be any further note of her life, doings, or death in the Scriptures. She lived the rest of her time with the apostle to whom our Lord recommended here, who provided for her necessities. That was St. John. Now she's saying the Blessed Mother privately was teaching the apostles and counseling and guiding them in many ways that we can only imagine. God protected her for two reasons. Just to show that men are supposed to be the rulers in the church. He didn't want her to take step. But even that's not the only reason. Because Mary still could have had a position of superiority in council and all that. But not as far as leadership and ruling in the church itself. But also because he wanted to protect her from the wiles and the wickedness of the world because she was so pure. He didn't want her to get out there and get entangled with these people as the apostles were to do so. So he kept her protected. Mary was God's special most loved creature God ever created. And you can just imagine the conversations with these holy women, full of the wisdom of God and knowledge and counsel and helping people in many ways. Mary did all these things. Now, of course, when Joseph died and Jesus died, then Mary had no one else to care for her, which is one proof then that she had no other sons other than Jesus. And so, because Jesus gave Mary to St. John. Behold, thy son, this is thy mother, and behold, mother, this is thy son. So, when Jesus entrusted Mary to St. John, the evangelist, the apostle, that's another proof that we can know that Mary did not have any other sons, because she would have been entrusted to one of her sons. There's a lot of proofs on that one. So now it goes on to say, the common opinion is that she lived 63 years in all at that time of her death. All the apostles then dispersed into diverse nations to preach the gospel. They were miraculously brought together, saving St. Thomas, who came the third day after to Jerusalem to honor her departure and funeral, as the said St. Denis witnesses. And I think that's St. Denis the Areopagite guy. I think he is the one who has the account of her assumption into heaven, her death and her assumption. Who saith that himself, St. Timothy and St. Herotheus were present, testifying also of his own hearing, that both before her death and after, for 3 days, not only the apostles and all other holy men present, but the angels also in the powers of heaven did sing most melodious hymns. Now, how's that for a testimony, right? Mm-hmm. How is it the Protestants don't want to believe stuff like this? It's amazing. They're very selective in what they want to believe. Mm-hmm. This is glorious, sublime things that are coming right from patristics, right from the early church apostles to the church fathers. They buried her body in Gethsemane, but for St. Thomas's sake, who desired to see it and to reverence it, they opened the sepulchre the third day, and finding it void of the holy body, but exceedingly fragrant, they returned assuredly deeming that her body was assumpted into heaven as the church of God holdeth, being most agreeable to the singular privilege of the Mother of God, and therefore celebrate most solemnly the day of her assumption, because she had no concupiscence of the flesh. Not only was she free from original sin, she had no venom of original sin in her flesh. She was free from all concupiscence. So her flesh could not rot. It could not remain in the grave. And that's why Mary was assumed into heaven. You first have to understand the Immaculate Conception before you can understand the Assumption. And that is consonant not only to the said St. Denis, but to Holy Athanasius also, who avouched the same. But neither these holy fathers, nor the Church's tradition and testimony, do bear any sway nowadays with the Protestants. They don't care about those testimonies. They'd rather listen to Luther, who came around in the year 1500. He knew better. He knew better than the apostles. He knew better than the apostles and the people whom the apostles spoke to. So it's another, just like the Mormons and like the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they get these revelations years later, contradict everything that went on with Christ and his apostles. The Protestants that have abolished this Feast of the Assumption, who of reason should at least celebrate it as the day of her death, as they do the other saints. For though they believe not that her body is assumpted, yet they will not deny that she is dead and her soul in glory, neither can they ask the scriptures for that, no more than they require for the deaths of Peter and Paul and John and others, which be not mentioned in the scriptures, and yet are celebrated by the Protestants. Protestants celebrate Peter and Paul. And Anglicans, I think, even believe in saints. Now, some Protestants don't believe in saints. You honor Peter and Paul, and you honor their death, knowing that they died as heroes of God. But you will not as much to even honor the death of Mary, even if you didn't believe she was assumed into heaven. This goes to show you the great hatred they have towards the Blessed Mother, how illogical they are. The Mother of God who raised Christ, who brought Jesus to the world, without which there would be no Jesus coming in human flesh. He needed a woman. He picked the best woman that ever was created. And then came into her womb, was raised by her. And they will not honor even her death. But John and other, which be not mentioned in scriptures, and yet are still celebrated by Protestants. Even though you don't even read anything about their deaths neither, they're celebrated by Protestants, the apostles. But concerning the Blessed Virgin Mary, they have blotted out also both her nativity and her conception. So as it may be thought, the devil beareth a special malice to this woman, whose seed break his head. So they got rid of her nativity and her conception even. They're trying to blot out Mary altogether, these bastard Protestants. What is the point here? You celebrate the birth and the death of the apostles, but Mary's chopped liver, she's nothing? This is the hypocrisy, the illogic of these Protestants. For, as for the other 2 days of her purification and annunciation, they may not proper to our, they be not proper to Our Lady, but the one to Christ's conception and the other to his presentation. So nothing to her Blessed Mother. So that she by this means shall have no festivity at all. Now he's talking about the Anglican Church, that they got rid of all her festivities, threw them right out. The first thing that happens when somebody leaves the church, in most cases, not every case, I think the Eastern Schismatics may have some type of a devotion to Mary, but it's still not true because they don't have the whole picture. But this is some of the most vicious. They take it out against Mary and they attack Mary. You know, even more than God. I say that because Mary's a creature and the devil was jealous of Mary. Now we go on to read here, but contrariwise, to consider how the ancient church and fathers esteemed, spoke, and wrote of this excellent vessel of grace may make us detest these men of impiety that cannot abide the praises of her. All generations should call her blessed, and that esteem her honors a derogation to her son. Some of her speeches we will set down, that all men may see that we neither praise her nor pay to her more amply than did St. Athanasius in the place alleged, after he had declared how all the angelical spirits in every order of them honored and praised her with the Ave, where was St. Gabriel saluted her. He's saying her salutations go back in praises to the beginning of the church. We're doing exactly what they did, and you Protestants aren't doing it. Not only you aren't doing it, you actually turn towards hatred towards her. You will, as I told you, Protestants look, she's no different than any woman. They abhor her. Or they may be polite and say she's, even if you say she's no different than any other woman, that's the woman, it's an abomination. We also say it, he, of all degrees upon earth, extolled thee with a loud voice, saying, Ave gratia plena, hail full of grace, our Lord is with thee, pray for us, O mistress and lady and queen of the mother of God. Right in Luke 1:28, hail full of grace, all generations shall call me blessed. We're doing what goes right. If the fundamentalist Protestants were so literal, how come they don't take that literal? I want to hear them call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. I want to hear you fundamentalists call her blessed above all women. And if you don't, you're a bunch of stinking hypocrites. Literal, they take things in some instances, and other instances, they don't take them literal. Just like in John 6:54, when Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of man and drink his blood, they don't want to take that literal. Oh, but they take other things literal when it suits their fancy. See? Mother of God, undefiled, queen of all, the hope of all them that despair, my lady most glorious, higher than the heavenly spirits, more honorable than the cherubims, holier than the seraphims, and without comparison, more glorious than the supernal hosts, the hope of the fathers, the glory of the prophets, the praise of the apostles. And a little later, he says, it's Virgo ante partum and partu est postpartum. By this we are reconciled to Christ, my God, thy Son. Thou art the helper of sinners. Thou the haven for them that are tossed with storms, the solace of the world, the deliverer of the imprisoned, the help of orphans, the redemption of captives, and afterwards vouchsafe me thy servant to praise thee, Holy Lady Mary, full of grace, Hail Virgin, most blessed among women, and much more in that sense which too long to repeat. He goes on even more. These are the praises of the early church fathers that knew the apostles. And they're getting the praises right out of the mouth of the apostles. But Luther comes along and does away with all of that. Saint Cyril hath the like wonderful speeches of her honor, homily 6 contra Nestorium, Nestorum. Praise and glory be to thee, O Holy Trinity. To thee also be praise, Holy Mother of God. For thou art the precious pearl of the world. Thou the candle of unquenchable light, the crown of virginity, the scepter of the Catholic faith. By thee the Trinity is glorified and adored. By thee heaven rejoices. Angels and archangels are glad. Devils are put to flight. And man is called again to heaven. And every creature that was held with the idols is turned to the knowledge of the truth. By thee churches are founded throughout the world. Thee being their helper, the Gentiles come to penance, and much more which we omit. Most holy, undefiled, blessed above all, our Queen, our Lady, the Mother of God, Mary, a virgin forever, the sacred ark of Christ's incarnation, broader than the heavens, thou that didst bear thy Creator, Holy Mother of unspeakable light, we magnify thee with angelical hymns. All things pass understanding. All things are glorious in thee, O Mother of God. To thee the mystery before unknown to the angels is made manifest and revealed to them on the earth. Thou art more honorable than the cherubims and more glorious than the seraphims. And we're going to go on again. When you hear this, see the cherubims and seraphims are saying definitely, praise God, she certainly is. Now, that's where most people fail because they don't want to say she's better than you. Everybody wants to be number one. Everybody wants to be God's number one creature, but Mary is the best creature God ever created, full of the most good things anybody could have. I go into that in my other writings. Everybody in heaven is pure and holy, but she has the most holy, most pure, most good things any creature could have. We just had someone writing this week who was attacking our Blessed Mother and saying, Richard, you're wrong. We can all be just like the Blessed Mother because we can all be made pure and holy too. I says, yeah, we can all be made pure and we can all be made holy. Like the Blessed Mother is pure and holy, but we can never become as great as her. Because her greatness consists not just in a purity and holiness in which we can all be, but the amount of holy good things that she's filled with. She was the most obedient, most, the creature that loved God the most. Nobody can love God more than Mary. Nobody can have more good things than Mary. Tough. If you don't like that, get away from us because you're full of pride. You're full of stinking, rotten pride. It's like I say to everybody. Everybody wants to sit next to the king. Let's just look at that logically even. If you had 1,000 people in a room, can 1,000 people fit on one throne sitting next to the king? You couldn't fit all on one throne. You'd all have to sit down somewhere even. I mean, there has to be some order. I mean, that's even if everybody was equal in glory and all that. But God has his hierarchy in heaven. Mary is the greatest creature he ever created. If you don't like it, tough, get away from us. You can have no part with us. And democratic rebels, because of these democracies which preach we're all equal, is nonsense. Not even in heaven is the glory of the saints all equal. I've mentioned this many times. They're all holy. They're all pure. The Catholic Church explains it this way. It's like you take a 5-ounce glass that's full of pure, clean water. That's a pure, holy vessel. Now Mary, then another saint's a little greater than that one. He's a 10-ounce glass, full of pure, clean water. And now he's got more holy things, more good things that he's filled with. They're both pure water. They're both sanctified. God loves them both, but the other one has more good things and more holy things. That's the way the church explains that. She also explains it that the saints' glory differs from one another as the stars, when they shine, differ from one another. And Mary's star shines the greatest of all God's creatures. And when you get people starting to say, I'm just like the rest of, I can be just like Mary. Says, no, you can become like Mary in the sense of purity and holiness, but you can never be as good as Mary or as perfect as Mary, or you can never love God as much as Mary loves God. Now, once you start hearing people saying things like that, that's Lucifer. That's the devils in them. They're possessed. Believe it. And that's why we know all the Protestants are possessed. Because that was Lucifer's sin. See what he's saying here? Oh, honor Mary, you cherubims and you seraphims. That was told to him in the beginning. He didn't want to do it. He says, I want to be the top dog. I want to be the number one boy. I want to be the big shot. And you know, it doesn't stop with that because there's hierarchies. Everybody wants to be better than the one who's in front of them. He wants to kick the person out in the front pew. Can you imagine this? If God really let this attitude get away with this thing, and it really does happen in life, in certain situations it can happen. You can imagine a lot of people come into a committee or a meeting, and everybody wants to sit up in the front row. Or at least the guy who's in the back wants to sit in the second to the back row, and the second in the back and the third to the back row. And they all want to go up higher than they are. And so they all start fighting with another, punching one another, and trying to get the seat that's up higher than where they are. Where does it end? You know? Where does it end? It's all, what do you call it, covetousness? And so a lot of times when people covet things, it's not even because the other person has something better than they have. It's just that they have something that they don't have, and they don't even need that thing. But they want to have it. That's called covetousness. But I love it when he says stuff like this. He's saying, when you're reading this right here, look, thou art more honorable than the cherubims, and more glorious than the seraphims. Now, what Protestant would not at least admit that cherubims and seraphims are glorious? And I think a lot of Protestants do honor the angels, but not Mary. Not only do they not honor, as we said, they actually dishonor her. And it says, okay, thou art more honorable than the cherubims and more glorious than the seraphims. To thee, O full of grace, all creatures, both men and angels, do gratulate and rejoice. Glory be to thee, which art a sanctified temple, a spiritual paradise, the glory of virgins, of whom God took flesh and made thy womb to be his throne, etc. And St. Augustine, in the Sermon 18, De Sancto to 10, O Blessed Mary, who can be able worthily to praise or thank thee, receive our prayers, obtain our requests? For thou art the special hope of sinners. By thee we hope for pardon of our sins, and in thee, O most blessed, is the expectation of our rewards. And then follows these words, Sancta Maria Socorre, Miseru, Inua Policianimis Mes, Refue, Stabiles, Ora Pro Pupulo, Intervenes Pro Clero, Intercede Pro Devoto, Formineo Sexu, Sentiant Omnes Tuum, Uamem Quicunque Celebrant Tuum Commemorationem. Pray thou continually for the people of God, who didst deserve to bear the Redeemer of the world, who livest and reignest forever. St. Irenaeus says, and St. Augustine, where they declare how the sexes concur to our salvation, the man and the woman, Christ and Our Lady, Adam and Eve, both were the cause of our fall, through Adam far more than his wife. And so Christ far more excellently in another sort than Our Lady, who though his mother, yet is but his creature and handmaid, himself being truly born of God and man, in all which places alleged and many other like to these, if it please the reader to see and read, and make his own eye witnesses, he shall perceive that there is much more said of her and to her than we have here recited, and that the very same or the like speeches and terms were used then that the church uses now. And this is what made the saints and the evangelized the whole world, this honor and devotion they gave to Mary. This is true Christianity. And Catholics are only true Christians. Protestants aren't true Christians. We teach that many times. And without this type of devotion to Mary, you're not even a true Christian. You're not Catholic. And with this type of devotion is how they went out and converted the whole world out there. In the honor and the invocation of the Blessed Virgin, to the confusion of all those that willfully will not understand in what sense all such speeches are applied unto her, to wit, either because of her prayer and intercession for us, whereby she is our hope, our refuge, our advocate, or because she brought forth the author of our redemption and salvation, whereby she is the mother of mercy and grace and life, and whatsoever good is received by Christ. And here's the end quote. Now, that's the Protestants have to face again, and they can come to these conclusions with pure logic. They don't even need to search the patristics of the church, which means going back to the apostles and the people who spoke to who the apostles taught, and then the people who learned from the apostles downwards through church tradition. It's loaded with these devotions to Mary and all the Catholic dogmas, which when Luther came around started to pick them apart one by one. And he has not one person he can link back to the apostles and the first century, and then through to the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, that believed the heresies that he believed in, a group of people that formed a church that the type of church he formed, the Lutheran church. It didn't exist. There is no such thing. It has no link. And it is 100% totally illogical, and even contrary to their own Bibles. Multiple passages in their own Bibles condemns their heresies. And I said before, that's why they're always lopping out books from the Bible. And by the time they get done, they're going to have to lop out the whole Bible, because every book in the Bible condemns them. Their own Bibles even. And it's like coming along today, and when they do, just say, oh, your original people were following this, now you're not following, so you guys keep changing consistently. And a religion that changes cannot be a true religion when her dogmas change, because dogmas don't change. They're eternal truths. So let's just be a warning to people out there that are averse to devotion to Mary. And let it also be a source of hopefully converting a lot of you Protestants out there, so you can see the obstinacy of yourselves and your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your preachers and all your churches. They're all phony baloney. I'm going to tell you right now, logic tells you cannot have 27,000 different churches of Christ preaching different dogmas and different doctrines and different morality. Paul said in Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Be of one mind and one faith together. That's how you know you're of the church, because you all profess the same dogmas. We're going to continue to go on in the future in my sermons, and we're going to do even special videotapes to show you how horribly and heretical and lying that all you Protestants are. And I do it again to convert you, because I was as bad as you were out there, all you Protestants, and God converted me. So I also do it with the intention to convert you Protestants. Because if any of you happen to have a little bit of goodwill in you, and you understand what I'm saying is true, I'm telling you, let this be your day of salvation. Get away from all these phony Protestant preachers. Get away from all the schismatics. And listen to and get away from the Vatican II Church, which calls itself the Catholic Church. They're not Catholic. Get away from any group that's not preaching the full dogmas of the Catholic Church. And to make it real easy for you, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm the only person here I know, us and Mary's Little Remnant, that are preaching the true Catholic faith. You don't believe it? Tough. There's only 8 people on Noah's Ark. This is little Noah's Ark right here. And I'm warning you, and I'm warning you again, and I'm warning you a third time. Each time for each divine person in the Holy Trinity. God's done this through his prophets in the Old Covenant when he warned them time and time again, waking up in the night, writing and writing and warning. And why did God do it? So that when all was said and done, you had no excuse for your obstinacy. As a testimony for the greatness and glory of God and for his mercy. And if you don't listen, that's your problem and not ours. So I'm telling you right now, listen to what we're saying. Only read the information on my website if you want to save your souls. Stop running around to all these other places and wandering and searching. I don't care if they have 99% truth. It only takes one heresy to throw you outside the Catholic Church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.